talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
We always wanted a big two-story house back when we lived in that little two-room shack.
We wanted fame and fortune, and we'd live life the way the rich folks do.
We knew somehow we'd make it together, me and you,
with dreams and hopes of things to come. We worked and never stopped. Not much time for you and me, we had to reach the top.
We bought that big two-story house and soon became the envy of the town.
With all our work behind us, we'd finally settle down.
And I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was George Jones and Tammy Wynette with Two Story House. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which typically happens every August. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which typically happens every April. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be doing something a little bit different today. First of all, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Flannery with Aiden Fabrics. And then also we're going to be talking with custom builder and remodeling contractor Dan Logan with Stono Construction. And this interview is part of a brand new podcast that Charleston Home and Design Magazine is launching called Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations. And the Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, we're kicking this off this weekend. And we're going to be conducting over as we go on in the future, we're going to be conducting interviews with some of Charleston's best custom builders and remodeling contractors. And we're going to be posting these special interviews on iTunes as a podcast. And of course, we're going to also air them on our regular show right here, Talking About a Home. But the goal is to raise awareness of the custom builders and remodeling contractors that you see featured in Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And it's going to be especially helpful for some of those out of town people who own second properties here in Charleston, or they're looking to build a second home or remodel a home that they've bought in Charleston. And so we're looking forward to interviewing all of the builders that we have in Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And this week we're starting with Dan Logan with Stono Construction. So, and you can go to wherever you find. We're going to be posting it on Apple iTunes, so you can go there and search for Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, and listen to the first podcast with Stono Construction. Well, I used that word typical in my intro when I was talking about the Charleston Fall Home Show, which typically happens every August. As you could very well expect, we had to cancel the Charleston Fall Home Show because of the C-19 virus and the fears that everyone has about contracting it, and so we are we were forced to cancel the show. It was going to take place later this month, August 28th through the 30th. And so that will not be happening, obviously. And but we are we have been working, and we continue to work on the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is happening in January. Out of an abundance of caution, I've heard that term way too much lately. We are we have moved our January home show to the North Charleston Convention Center, and the reason we did that was we have a feeling that there's going to be some continuing ongoing concerns that the public has, and as well as some of the vendors that have staff that staff the home show. We had some concerns about doing it at the Gilead Center, which has been the home of our home shows since 2004. But the Gilead Center is an awesome venue. It's a very intimate venue. Given the fact that people are social distancing, we didn't feel like we would be able to accomplish that at the Gilead Center. And so we've moved our January show, but we'll be back to the Gilead Center in January 2022, which is kind of baffling to be thinking that far ahead, but we are. And so we'll be back to the Gilead. We can't wait to get back to the Gilead in January 2022. But in the meantime, we'll be hosting the Charleston Home and Design Show 2021, Charleston Home and Design Show in January at the North Charleston Convention Center, and we've got about twice the square footage up there, and so we're excited about that, and that's also going to allow us to do a lot of special promotions and events that our home shows are famous for. And so we're not going to be announcing anything yet about that. And we're going to be reaching out to the companies that you see featured in Charleston Home and Design Magazine in the next few weeks to start signing them up for the January home show. And they're all very, very much looking forward to getting back in front of the public. They've been very, very busy the past few months with the COVID virus and so many homeowners staying at home. They are making so many improvements to their homes that the companies that you see within Charleston Home and Design Magazine have luckily been very, very busy throughout this difficult time, and that's good for them. And it's good for you too, because if you want to get some work done, this is a great time to do it. And speaking of that, you definitely want to pick up our summer issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. It's been out for about a month and a half now, 2 months, and it's chock full of so much great content. We've got. You may be familiar with the winemaker Mondavi. You probably, that's a very well-known name. We have Robert and Lydia Mondavi Jr. on the cover of our summer issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine. So check that out, and you can pick it up at just about every home-related showroom throughout the Charleston area. We either have them, our magazines on display in a rack, or they might be just kind of stacked someplace in the showroom near the, we typically put them near the front door. But pick up the new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine and listen to our new podcast, Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, and have a great weekend. Now joining us on the phone is Jonathan Flannery with Aiden Fabrics. How you doing, Jonathan?
Hey, Tim. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Jonathan, take a moment and tell everybody about Aiden Fabrics.
Sure. So Aiden Fabrics, we have a showroom in Mount Pleasant with fabric by the yard. We sort of start out as a business that has indoor and outdoor decorative fabrics by the yard. We have over 1,000 bolts of fabric to choose from. We recently expanded last year and moved into the new location at the corner of 41 and 17 to offer 8,000 square feet. So we used to have about 5,500, and we expanded it to a brand new building, brand new showroom with a lot more to offer in terms of our in-stock furniture and accessories. We have a brand new design center with a lot of samples and sample books for people to sort of sit down and spend an hour or spend a few hours in our store to sort of get some inspiration and some design ideas going. We have a lot of to offer in terms of the outdoor furniture, the outdoor fabrics. I feel like in the Charleston market, we do have the strongest representation of Sunbrella in this market. We just have a really big show and a lot to offer, a lot of options. And we're just excited about the new showroom. People have been really gravitating to it. They love it. And we really enjoy having more space to showcase our furniture, showcase our accessories, and just loving it. It's been a good year for us.
Excellent. Well, if folks have not had a chance to stop by the new Aiden Fabrics showroom, it's right just off of 17 North. On 41, South Carolina Highway 41, as you're heading up like toward Dunes West and stuff, on the right-hand side. It's a beautiful, beautiful showroom. My congratulations to Aiden Fabrics, because you folks, you and your dad built this, the building that Aiden Fabrics is housed in, right?
That's right. Yeah, we did. We built it. You know, it's always, we'd rather be our own landlord than rent from a landlord. So we kind of wanted to own our own building, and we just knew we needed to expand. The other location just was a little smaller, and we weren't really able to showcase more broadly the product offerings that we have, especially in terms of the furniture and the rugs and accessories. So it really allowed us to stock that furniture for grab and go, or to really just to demonstrate what we truly do. So everything always sort of starts with fabric with us, but it grows from there to upholstery, to rugs and accessories and case goods. So that new showroom has really allowed us to do that. And it's nice to have a brand new building with brand new walls and flooring as well. So we're really thoroughly enjoying it, and our customers are as well.
Well, can you kind of paint a picture for our listeners? You know, somebody walks into the brand new Aiden Fabrics showroom. What will they experience? You know, when they look around to the left and the right and straight ahead, what will they see?
Sure. Yeah, so in the belly of the store is all of our fabric by the yard. So you're going to see just racks and racks of fabrics by the yard. So both indoor and outdoor fabrics, drapery fabrics, upholstery fabrics, kid-proof fabrics for those that have kids and pets and want really durable performance fabrics. That's all right there in the middle of the store. And what we've done sort of with the perimeter of the store is carved out vignettes that have sofas, chairs and rugs and end tables and lamps and things that sort of complete the vignette, and people can really visualize and sit on the fabrics that will potentially be a fabric they'd want to choose for their home. And then off to the side, we've sort of carved out a large, we call it our designer showroom area. You don't have to be a designer to use it. It's just sort of a good resource you know, for people that may have walked through the racks of fabrics and they might feel a little overwhelmed or they just didn't see anything that was in stock, if they move over to the designer showroom, there are tables and chairs that you can sit at, and we have three or four galleries of fabric that they can, you know, shop, sort of like garments, where it's all left to right on hangers. You can pull them and you can lay them down and maybe drape them over a chair, drape them over a sofa, and really visualize what that's going to look like in your home. And at the same time, if they can't make a decision in the store, they can take 5-10 samples home with them and check them out and live with them for a few days. So it's just a good area for them to get some creative and design juices flowing. And you know, you and I have talked before about sometimes people come in and they see so many rolls of fabric, so many samples of fabric, and they just get a little bit overwhelmed. And that's where we step in and say, hey, show me what you're working with. Maybe you have a picture on your phone of your room. Maybe you have an inspiration piece, maybe a painting. Whatever it is you're working with, let us look at that. Let's take time to sit down and sort of absorb what you're working on and pull samples. And then go home for a couple days, play with it, think about it, come back, and make a decision when you're ready. So it's easy to get a little overwhelmed because people always tell me, they say, well, I come in and I thought I was going to work on my living room, and now I'm seeing all these things and I want to redo my bedroom or my bathroom. And so we're here to give them as much or as little help as they want, and it really is as turnkey as they need. In addition to that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that we offer a full-service workroom that can make anything that they need with that fabric, you know, be it drapery or bedding, new upholstery or reupholstery, we do it all. So it is a lot of options, and we just try to make sure that it doesn't feel overwhelming. We'll hold their hand as little or as much as they need.
Excellent. And, you know, when people think of fabric, my first inclination is to think of drapes and bind fabric that will ultimately be hung on, you know, on in front of windows and what have you. But Aiden Fabrics, you folks have fabrics for just about everything, right?
That's right. Yeah, you know, we really do. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's somebody comes in and just wants a little bit of fabric for some pillow, but then and then they say, well, I didn't realize this, but you guys have fabric for boats. You have fabric for car seats. You know, the majority of what we do is obviously upholstery, drapery, pillows, and bedding and things like that. But, you know, I've been in the textile industry since I was 5 years old, and so we've got a lot of resources, a lot of sample books for just about any project that you have. We may not have it in stock, but we can quickly get it for you and get it in. And just this morning I was working on a cushion for a gentleman that needs to repair a boat cushion. Happens to be that I've got a great line of marine vinyl, and we're going to be able to repair that cushion for him very quickly and very easily. So I always recommend people ask the question. If we don't have it, we'll let you know, but 9 times out of 10, we can usually source the product for them.
So this has been a kind of a strange year for everyone, and things at Aiden Fabrics is not exactly following the typical seasonal busyness that you folks experience, right?
That's exactly right. Allison and I were just talking today about how we're busier now than we've been in the previous years, and I think what's happened is we're hearing our customers say, well, I'm not traveling as much this year as I do in previous years, obviously, and maybe I'm saving a little bit of money. But at the end of the day, they are spending more time in their home, which is a great thing, but they also are seeing things that they want to do around their home that it's staring them in the face every day. I always hear the story about a lady that during the quarantine period had checked a sample of wallpaper out, and she just sort of taped it to her wall and was considering whether she wanted to do it or didn't want to do it. She called me up one day. She said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I've been looking at this sample for long, and I'm just going to do it. I know it's weird times right now, but it had been bothering her, and she just wanted to do it. And that's the same thing that people are experiencing now, is that they've been in their home, and they've been spending a lot more time there, and they're seeing things that they want to get done, and they are contacting us, and we're getting designs together and plans together, and we're just making a lot of things happen right now. You know, typically our peak season for the spring is March and April, and that was delayed, and so now we're experiencing more of a flurry of activity in May, June, and July, and it's just not slowing down. People are really focusing on those home projects and getting a lot done right now. And so we're busy, but we're managing it, and it's an exciting time for us.
Talk about some of the new upholstered goods that Aiden Fabrics has with the Krypton fabric. What is the Krypton fabric?
So Krypton is a brand of performance fabric that is a kid-friendly fabric. You don't have to have kids, obviously, to use this, but essentially the theory is if you have upholstery that is either going to be in a main living area, it's going to be exposed to a lot of use, entertaining in your home, maybe you've got a glass of wine that might spill or some food, what have you, Krypton is a lifetime stain repellency that is put into the fabric by the mill and is easily cleanable. I did a little test the other day with my kids at home, and my daughter took a crayon, a purple crayon, on a almost pure white Krypton fabric, and she just drew all over it. And I took that Krypton cleaning kit, I sprayed it and followed the instructions, let it sit for 3 minutes, I brushed it, and I rinsed it out, and it came out absolutely flawless. So, you know, a lot of people right now, kids or no kids, are just really wanting that peace of mind, knowing that light fabric or dark fabric, everything in between, that if they have any stains or any everyday soiling, that they can quickly take it to the sink, spray it with the Krypton cleaning spray, brush it, rinse it off, and let it dry, and it comes right out. It's a wonderful product. We've been selling a lot of it, and a lot of the furniture that we're stocking in our store now, we're upholstering with Krypton fabric because it's just a no-brainer. People really want that performance fabric, and they want that peace of mind. So we have a lot to offer. Krypton has been expanding their product line over the last 2 or 3 years, and we've just got dozens and dozens of samples for people to choose from, everything from solids to textures and everything in between.
How does that Krypton fabric feel? Is it crunchy and kind of hard to break in, or what does it feel like?
It is a very comfortable fabric. The fabric that we keep on our floor here, there's a sort of a light colored, it's a fabric with a color that's called snow. You can imagine that it's a color called snow, it's very light. Well, it's very soft, and it's very, it almost has a little bit of a chenille nap to it. It's very comfortable, very, very livable. But you may go to another Krypton sample that maybe has a tweed, maybe it has a little bit of a different pile to it. Krypton is a finish that they will bathe the fabric in a vat with this finish, and then they will heat cure that to it. So you can really take any type of a thread, any type of a weave, and have the Krypton treatment put on it in the mill with Krypton. But by and large, 90% of what we sell is very livable, very soft, comfortable fabrics. Some of the ones that are a little bit more of a tweed, and even some of the velvets will take on a little bit of a different feel, but it's all fabric that they want for you to be able to put in a space in your most used home, your living room or your dining room, and they want it to be comfortable. That is the concept behind it, is that it's built for living with this fabric and peace of mind that it'll come clean.
Is the Krypton fabric, is that considered an outdoor fabric? Do you use it for any kind of outdoor furniture?
It's actually only for indoor use. I believe that there is some Krypton coming out on the market that will be for outdoor use. But for years, the concept of performance fabric has always been the sort of indoor-outdoor Sunbrella, because Sunbrella has done a lot of this for the last 15 to 20 years. You know, they've made the indoor-outdoor fabrics livable, soft, not crunchy, not stiff. Sunbrella is still a great fabric for performance fabrics for indoor use. But along comes Krypton, and although you can't bleach it like you can your Sunbrella, that finish will repel liquids, and it'll bead up and just roll right off. It's just clean in a little bit of a different way. So you unzip the cushion, you take it to the sink, you scrub it with that cleaner, and it comes right out. If you do the same with Sunbrella, the only thing that you can do is you just don't bleach Krypton, where in Sunbrella or other indoor-outdoor brands, you can bleach. But 90% of the stains that you're going to have on your indoor couch or sofa won't require bleach. It'll just require a little bit of, you know, scrubbing and rinsing and drying in the sink. So the Krypton fabric has been great because the price point's a little lower. You know, your average Sunbrella might be in the $40 to $50 a yard range, and the Krypton's going to be in the mid to high 20s. So there's an instant savings, and the cleaning and the ease of use is just the same. So people have really been gravitating to that for that reason.
Can if someone has an existing piece of furniture that they want to get reupholstered, they can bring that to Aiden Fabrics, and you folks can reupholster it. Is that correct?
That's right. Absolutely. We can. A lot of times, people will email us a picture of what they're working with, or we'll have them text us a picture. We'll quote it for them. We'll tell them how many yards they need, and we typically will lead with a recommendation like a Krypton, because why not? You know, why not start with an upholstery that's got a performance finish on it? But at the end of the day, we are going to find them what they need, and we are here to help them. But we can take a picture and get that picture, quote the yardage they need, quote the labor cost, and then also the time frame to complete the project.
And then of course, they can go to Aiden Fabrics and purchase brand new upholstered furniture that has some of the performance fabrics or other different types of fabrics too, right?
Absolutely, yes. So the extra 3,000 square feet that we built on our showroom has a variety of different chairs, you know, so stationary chairs, swivel chairs, recliners, both in fabric and in leather, side chairs. That's really why we wanted to expand, because now they can come in and they can say, well, I like this chair over here, but what other fabrics does it come in? And we can show them the lines that we carry, the furniture lines and different options, and then different upgrades and different fabric choices. So it's a wonderful thing now that they can come in and really see all the different options in the upholstery lines that we carry. And but if they got a piece that they want to recover, we're here to do that too. We want to help them with whatever their project requires.
All right, good deal. Well, if you haven't visited the brand new showroom of Aiden Fabrics, you definitely want to do that. And I imagine you folks are requiring a mask for people to go in your store and everything like that.
We are. We're actually selling masks in the store if they need them, and we also have free masks that we're giving away if they happen to get, you know, I've hopped in the car several times lately and thought, oh, man, I don't have a mask, and then I walk into the store and they've got free masks, and we do. So we do have those that we're giving away. We have hand sanitizer everywhere, social distancing, stickers on the floor, and we're taking a lot of precautions, but we want them to feel safe, but we do have free masks to give away, and we would appreciate that if they wear them and when they come into the store.
Good deal. Well, tell everyone where that brand new Aiden Fabrics showroom is located.
Yes, we'd love to have them come visit us at 1172 Highway 41. We're right next to Sherwin-Williams on 41 near the corner of 17. If they'd like to go to our website, it's aidenfabrics.com. That's spelled A-I-D-E-N fabrics.com. Or they can give us a call at 843-216-0008.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Jonathan Flannery with Aiden Fabrics. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, a podcast where we talk to Charleston, South Carolina-based custom home builders and remodeling contractors. Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations is brought to you by Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I'm your host, Tim Barkley. Today we're talking with Dan Logan with Stono Construction. How are you, Dan?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good. Dan, take a moment and tell everybody about Stono Construction.
Sure. We are a South Carolina residential home builder here in Charleston, and we're located in James Island, and we mostly build custom homes and do large-scale home renovations and home additions.
Gotcha. Okay, good deal. How long has Stono Construction been around?
We've been around about 5 years.
5 years, okay. And how did you get started in the construction industry?
My business partner, John Goodwin, has been building homes for almost 20 years, and he moved to Charleston about 7 or 8 years ago and worked for another builder for a while, and then we were old friends because we grew up together, and we were just kind of talking about maybe building a spec house or doing something like that as kind of an investment opportunity kind of on the side, And I don't know, one day he just called me up and said that he stopped working at the other place and, you know, hey, let's go ahead and do this. And I was on board and I said, okay, let's do it. And our original intention was to build some spec homes and do that kind of a thing. But we quickly realized that that's a lot more challenging than just offering services to clients, because it's so hard to find a good deal on a lot in this town. But, yeah. And so we started small and did a couple small projects and it went well. And, you know, we just kind of grew it from there. Mm-hmm. I basically run the office and he basically runs the jobs. And so it's a good match because we don't step on each other's toes.
Gotcha. And I'm looking at the a home that Stono Construction remodeled in Charleston inside Charleston Home and Design magazine, and this was looks like a project that's in downtown Charleston. It won the 2019 Carolopolis Award for new construction by the Preservation Society of Charleston. This was a new construction project?
It was a teardown. That was down there near Colonial Lake, and that job came to us. Actually, the client found us, and they already had an architect, and they had already paid someone to tear down the old house because it was not a historic home, and it was one of those houses that was built. It was like a little bungalow, and it was built probably in the 60s or 70s, maybe the 50s, before the BAR had a lot of jurisdiction over that area and say in how those houses are supposed to look. And so because their house flooded three times in maybe 4 years or so, they finally just got fed up and had somebody tear it down and decided that they were going to build a full-blown, you know, Charleston single-style house. Mm-hmm. And their architect, I have to give credit to Laura Altman at LFA Architecture. She was just amazing, obviously, in designing the house, but also in the process of getting it approved with the BAR. You know, that's new construction, and there was some new things on that house that were approved that had never been approved before and things of that nature. But the main focus on that house was to make sure that it was very impervious to water and flooding, et cetera, and still have it be the nice look and feel that, you know, the BAR needed it to have, to make it fit in with the neighborhood. And so now you have a house that looks much more like all the houses that have been there for, you know, over 100 years.
Gotcha. And Stono Construction, you folks, this looks like a beautiful remodeled home, but it was new construction. What street is that on?
It's on Trumbo Street, which is a tiny little one block long street that T-bones into Colonial Lake on Rutledge.
Gotcha. So Stono Construction, you folks can help people with large remodel projects, not necessarily the smaller projects that people might have, but if you're doing a whole house remodel or something like that, that's the kind of remodeling projects that Stono Construction can help homeowners with?
Correct. I would like to take on smaller projects, but we're not really set up that way. A good reason to take on small projects is because it leads to, you know, other bigger projects, mm-hmm. because you have a lot more client base and a lot more referrals. But because of the way we're set up, we're really only set up to do larger projects, because we don't have tradesmen on staff. So, I mean, when I need to send a carpenter over there, I'm subcontracting that person. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of these other companies, which are great companies, are able to just fill in the gaps when the guy's finished on a bigger job. They can say, hey, you know, can you go over there and, you know, start demoing on this small job? That's a little bit harder for us to coordinate something like that. So everything we do is on a construction schedule, and it's, you know, treated more like it would be if it was a whole entire custom home build.
Well, actually, I would think that homeowners would respect Stone Oak Construction for being able to come right out and say that, because I think there's a tendency for contractors in general to just always say yes, no matter what kind of project is coming their way. And it's good to have a specialty, and sounds like Stone Oak Construction can still help a lot of people with the whole house remodels. And then also, would you do any like a kitchen remodel or a master bath remodel?
Probably not a bathroom remodel, mm-hmm. unless it was a part of a larger project. Kitchen remodels, only if they're on the mid to high end. And again, we probably wouldn't do a kitchen remodel if it didn't involve any kind of structural modifications or any kind of demo or changes. Like if somebody just wanted to replace cabinets and appliances and resurface their floors, we just would refer them off to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't have a good place to send a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I did. In some cases, we can send somebody to one of our subs, but most of our subs don't really work for homeowners. They just work for contractors.
Right.
And so, there's most certainly a need for contractors that can take on these smaller jobs. But because you're paying us a markup on everything, you're really paying us to manage a more complex project.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we are. We're managers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, let's talk about the topic of buying a piece of property to build on, commonly known as a home site or a lot that you purchase. Talk about what you recommend to homeowners that they know they want to build a new house. And they might even know what part of town that they want to build on. And what kind of advice would you give them in terms of searching for a piece of property?
Okay. There's a lot of information that needs to be collected. You need to vet the lot, if you will. But one of the most important things to do, obviously, is go there physically and make some physical observations of the lot's characteristics. More specifically, when you're standing there on the street looking at the lot, does it look like it's on high ground? Does it look like if you build a house on it that the drainage would, go to the proper place, whether it be behind it to a marsh or to a swale or where that would go? Because there's so many low lots here in Charleston, and a lot of them are not even in flood zones. And it just depends on the topography of the lots that surround it and that kind of a thing. So if it doesn't look like it's on high ground, that's not a deal breaker. It just means that you may have to pay your contractor to bring in some fill dirt, and then the site would have to be designed in a way where that's not going to be a problem for your neighbors or for the neighborhood. And you hear a lot of people complaining about fill and build projects all over Charleston, mm-hmm. and it's more related to when a builder comes in and builds like a whole neighborhood right behind another neighborhood, and then there's more flooding problems. But even when you're on a standalone lot, you just really want to make sure that the drainage is going to end up being the right way. Another thing, obviously, to look at is just the general drainage infrastructure that's in place in whatever street or neighborhood it's in. So, are there swales? Are there ditches? Is there a sidewalk that has pipes underneath it? And so all those things kind of factor in. So, that's one of the main things to look at. Another one would be just the shape of the lot? You know, is it a weird shaped lot? Are you going to be able to put a house on it? You wouldn't believe how many times somebody calls me and tells me to go look at a lot, you know, on the computer that they're looking at, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know how you're going to build a house on this. But you know, it sounds obvious, but you need to also look at the less obvious things, which are things like setbacks, easements. You could have a utility easement running across the front of your property that could make the buildable area 20 feet less than what you thought it might be by looking at the lot.
What's a setback and what is an easement?
So a setback basically just comes off the property line, and it's another line that you can't build anything over top of it.
So you can build
landscaping and things like that, but the building footprint can't exceed the setbacks. And those can be, each lot's going to have different setbacks. Each neighborhood is going to have different setbacks. And so the best way to get the actual setbacks is to get a survey. But you can make some assumptions when you're searching for a lot. I mean, if it's a lot that's just right in the row of a bunch of lots and they're all basically the same size and there are already a bunch of houses on all the other lots, you can pretty much make the assumption that it's probably the same setbacks, mm-hmm. and there aren't any easements and things like that. But HOAs sometimes have easements for access to, sometimes it could be for access to like a body of water that's behind the house, like a lake or a pond that the HOA needs to get to. There's drainage easements, you know, in which you can't build anything. You know, sometimes easements are expired, but they don't ever actually, you know, remove them from the title of the property. So, you know, you may have to ask your real estate attorney to deal with that, but, you know, the main thing is just to make sure that you're able to do what you want. And that may be something that you would put as a contingency in your purchase contract if that information's not readily available when you're looking at the lot.
Is an easement, would that be considered like a right of way?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, an example would be a utility easement. So you may have seen AT&T or Comcast or Xfinity out, you know, digging up somebody's front yard, and you're like, oh, wow, man, they're like pretty far up in that guy's yard, like messing it up. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're digging within the easement. So you don't want to be putting a driveway right there. I mean, you could put a driveway over it, but you wouldn't want to be putting like a big parking area there or a really nice fence or some expensive trees or bushes, because they have every right to come in there and destroy that to get to their underground utilities. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that would be an example. And but you won't be allowed to build on it anyways, just because the setbacks will take into consideration any easements that exist.
Mm-hmm. They need to, you need to be able to allow the utilities access to that, to the power lines and what have you.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you've seen plenty of houses where the power lines go, the overhead power lines go, like across the back of your property. And then there's another house behind your house. And, you know, when they've got to go and start cutting trees off, I mean, they're going to come onto your property, and they have every right to. They don't even have to tell you. Mm-hmm. And they can come onto your property and start, you know, cutting those trees off the power lines. Or, of course, one of the power lines, you know, breaks in a storm or something. Like, they're gonna come in there and fix that. And if they have to tear down your fence to get back there, they, you know, that might happen. So, generally speaking, you're really only, your easement's going to be across the front of the property just for the purposes of utilities running up and down the street. But there are plenty of situations where the easements go up the side of your property or across the back. So it's just something that, you know, you just have to make sure. You don't want to end up buying the lot and then realizing that, you know, you can't put something there. And a survey will tell you all that. Mm-hmm. So I can't stress enough, just if you're buying a lot, you can't do it without getting a formal survey. You just have to.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned working with an architect on that downtown project. Someone might own a piece of property, or they might be looking to buy a piece of property that has some large trees or some things, trees that maybe aren't going to be allowed to be cut. And a lot of times an architect can really be valuable in the early times of construction, being able to figure out like how can a house be designed to work around maybe some of the existing large trees that are already on the property that you can't cut.
Correct. And we see that all the time. Different municipalities have different tree ordinances. So like City of Charleston, for instance, tends to be a little more lenient than some other places. And, you know, there are places in Charleston County that are annexed to the city, especially in James Island. There's just all kinds of different properties that are, you know, one of them's in the city and the next one's in the town of James Island, and the next one's in unincorporated Charleston County. So it's very important to know what jurisdiction the lot you're buying is in. And then once you know what one it's in, it's important to figure out what their regulations are. And then above and beyond that, you also need to, if it's in a neighborhood that has an HOA, you need to make sure that the HOA doesn't have restrictive covenants that are more strict on the tree ordinance than the municipal one.
A lot of details that you have to consider when you're getting ready to build a piece of property. Build a house. Another one is working. Most people are going to be working with a lender. Talk about what that experience is like. What people will be experiencing as far as working with a lender.
So it's a great thing right now to be able to get a construction to permanent loan, or in some cases, people will get a lot loan that then can be converted to construction, then to permanent. Generally speaking, once you start going vertical, that's when the builder gets involved with the lot loan and the lender. At least if you're buying your own lot and you're not, you know, trying to buy it from the builder or something like that. But so I'd say about 70% of the people that call us with large projects, call them over $300,000 projects and all and up, are going to be working with a lender. What we've found is that it's a lot easier to work with a local or regional bank that's doing that loan than it is to work with a much larger bank like TD or Wells Fargo or somebody. But generally speaking, the lender's going to require the builder to sign a three-way contract between the homeowner and the builder and the lender. And it'll kind of govern, you know, things like release of liens and liability and stuff like that. And it'll govern how the payments are made in the draw schedule. So when you're working with a lender, they usually don't issue more than 6 draw disbursements. And so sometimes we require a larger deposit because sometimes we have to basically float all the expenditures up until the first inspection. So the lender does inspections of the work progress, and that inspection has to clear. It doesn't have to clear, it just has to be, once the inspection's done, they give you a percentage complete of all the items on the draw schedule, and then they're only going to issue funds based on those percentages.
And let me stop you real quick. What is a draw or a disbursement?
That is basically when I get to a point and I'm ready to invoice somebody, it's a payment. So And in our case, we always do progress payments. So our invoices show percentages of each work area. And so the first draw usually includes most of the permitting and planning stuff, and it usually includes the foundation. And in many cases, it also includes the framing. And so usually when you get, you know, on a $600,000 house, that's, you know, easily $80,000 or something like that, that first invoice would be for. And so when I send the bank a notice and says, okay, I'm ready for you guys to, you know, confirm that we're complete with these progress items, then they usually send out an appraiser, or some lenders have their own internal inspector that does this. But nonetheless, they send somebody out and they do an inspection and they say, yep, foundation's there. Yep. Looks like they got the permit. Yep. Looks like house pretty much framed up, but they haven't put the roof sheathing on yet. So we're only going to give them 80% on that. And then, you know,
then they
interestingly, I would actually retroactively create the invoice based off of that. But if it was a cash customer, I would just create the invoice based on what percent I know is done.
Gotcha. And so the bank's not going to just hand you over the full amount of the construction loan. They're going to only distribute it piecemeal and be sure that there's actual materials that have been constructed to, you know, to make sure that I guess that's a safeguard for the homeowner, make sure that the contractor's not putting the money in their pocket or something, right?
It is. Obviously, you know, I hate to say it, but I guess that probably happens. You know, I can't imagine ever, you know, doing anything like that, but there's some people out there that just are desperate or whatever. But there's also the bank also is very worried about, you know, okay, well, what would happen if something happened to the contractor? Or what would happen if, you know, if there was a hurricane? Or what would happen if, you know, the homeowner did something wrong? So they're trying to cover their interest in the property. And for good reason. And so, you know, we usually are able to get a bank to issue an initial deposit, but sometimes it takes a little extra work and convincing, because they're essentially forwarding us a bunch of money, even though none of the work's done yet. And, I don't know if they have some back end thing they do with their client to make that possible, but, we've been successful at working through that. And I mean, it really just comes, for me, it just comes down to a cash flow thing. And, you know, if I've got to pay, you know, if I've got to pay $40,000 for a framing package and the bank isn't going to pay me, you know, for another month, you know, I'm floating that $40,000. And so I usually use a customer deposit in order to float those kinds of things. And, you know, we're usually not too worried about it, but it is kind of relevant because sometimes a bank can cause hangups on the job timeline because, you know, I mean, I've had one bank where they wouldn't pay us and it was like $120,000 draw and they just wouldn't pay us and wouldn't pay us and wouldn't pay us. And it had nothing to do with the progress complete or anything we did. It actually had something to do with some kind of insurance problem that had nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. And then of course they weren't able to disclose to me what the reason was. And so you can imagine how that was kind of frustrating. but we also were able to continue to work because, you know, we do keep cash reserves. But effectively what happened is we were exposed. And so if the bank never would have paid us that money, then, you know, we're the ones that would have been high and dry, not the bank. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a push and pull, right? my goal was always to only get paid when work is done, other than the deposit. And, you know, that's, we're not trying to, you know, get more money than what's I owed or anything like that, but the banks can make it a little trickier. But I will say that overall the experience with banks has been, it's been good. You know, once you get that draw schedule set up, which basically sort of lays out what types of items that are going to be on that sheet that the inspector uses, and you know, you can get those done. The only other thing about lenders, I guess, is sometimes some lenders require what's called a lien waiver every single time you ask for a draw, and other ones only require one at the very end of the job. And the bigger banks are going to be the former, and the smaller regional banks are going to be where they don't mind as much to just kind of take that risk. But I've even seen some banks require a lien waiver from me, but then also require a lien waiver from every single one of my subs that was involved in that draw. And I mean, talk about a pain in the neck. You know, getting, you know, what if I had like 10 subs at that particular phase? I mean, I have to get the owner of every one of those companies to sign and notarize a lien waiver, you know, just to get a payment for work that's already obviously complete.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is because they're concerned that, you know, that sub might not get paid by me and then go and put a lien on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense that they do it, but most of the small banks just don't do it at all, except for at the end.
That's a good question to ask up front. And all of the information that you have just mentioned piles on the evidence of why it is so important to work with a good builder. Don't anyone ever think about taking on a project, doing it themselves, contracting themselves, because there's so many details that that a homeowner will not be aware of. And Dan, how can folks get more information about Stono Construction?
I mean, the best way is to just go to our website, which is stonoconstruction.com, and you can contact us through there. We have an office number, which is 843-805-4141, and you can email me, too, at dan@stonoconstruction.com.
Yeah, and stonoconstruction.com, it's a great website. You've got lots of photos in your gallery of a lot of different types of projects, interior, exterior, whole house remodels, outdoor living, master suite additions, custom homes, and so on. So I urge everyone to visit stonoconstruction.com, or you can always find Stono Construction on our website, which is charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we have been talking with custom builder Dan Logan with Stono Construction. Thanks so much, Dan.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.